This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulabinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, we will hear a story about how community action helps sustain marine environment in the district of Namuka, the province of Motuata in Fiji.
And that feeling of being helpless during a disaster, how would you feel if you weren't able to help your family when they really needed it? More on that soon.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Fred, last week we highlighted a village called Ngaranipai in the province of Motuata. We talked about how women and other fishermen in the village are going far and beyond, even beyond the reef to get a good catch.
Yeah, I do remember that, Joe. And one of the women that you spoke with by the name of Vika, she claimed that the ocean temperature was getting warmer as well, and that that might have had an impact and forced the ocean life to migrate elsewhere or move on to further out to sea.
Absolutely, that's what she claimed. And still in the same province of Motuata, in Fiji's northern division, Pacific Prepared and Lingawata, Nenamani Kuitaki, traveled to another district, the district of Namuka, which has over 10 villages.
Yeah, right. So, Joe, what did you actually find out while you were there?
Well, Fred, it was totally the opposite of what we heard in Ngaranipai. The villages in the district of Namuka are preserving their Iaumbula, or marine protected areas, by imposing fishing bans for years now. It's interesting because the initiative was imposed and led by the village elders and the chiefs themselves. That in itself shows how considerate they are and not being selfish. And also with an understanding that they will eventually have something to cater or to feed for their generations in years to come.
So it seems, Joe, that even though the villagers are quite aware of obviously what's happening with climate change and that it's a challenge to them as well that they're facing, but they're not sort of letting that, I guess, but they're trying to figure out ways to overcome that as well.
Right.
And they have figured out that working together and trying to support getting the support from traditional leaders is actually one of the keys. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Fred. And they have the support from the Vanua, from the traditional heads. That is a testament in itself. When we went there, myself and Meliki, we could see when they prepared lunch, when they served lunch, we could see the sizes of the fish and other marine resources that were part of the spread. We could see that it was a good size, a good catch.
Yeah.
That shows that they are protecting their marine resources and actually fishing or harvesting marine resources sustainably or in a sustainable manner. Hmm. Yeah. So we had a chat with Mr. Wangavesi Mbuli Mwolebu, the Namuka District Representative, who will take us through and talk more about this initiative.
Mbula Minaka, my name is Wangavesi Mbuli Mwolebu. I am the district rep in the Tikina of Namuka. I'm also the members of the Yaumbula committee in the Tikina of Namuka.
The Yaumbula. Yaumbula means natural resources, something that most Fijians or people across the Pacific heavily engage with to sustain us daily, whether it's the wealth from the sea or from the ocean or from land as well. So that's the term or the meaning of Yaumbula. And the district rep is part of the committee that strengthens the implementation of various laws that the village head or the village elders within the district put together to ensure that their environment, their marine resources are protected and sustained for future generation. Can you just highlight some of the projects or some of the work the committee has put together over the past few years?
So for each village, we have this five platform. In that five platform, there is a platform on the conservation work or conservation of it. So first of all, that's where the committee, village committee in every village in the Tikina, they are working in there, or they are implementing the plans or the management plan or the plans to sustain, to protect our resources in the village level. On the Tikina level, there is a committee too in the Tikina level. It's the district naturals committee that oversee the management and the protection of the of our resources within the Tikina. This committee works with the chiefs or the traditional leaders in the Tikina, within the Tikina. They are like the arms and the legs of the chiefs, of the traditional leaders. So there is a plan, there is a development plan in place. It was that came up last year, and we have started doing it. The idea was brought up by the chiefs, our traditional leaders, and the first step or the first phase that we have undertaken is to take down this idea or take down this information to the people. So we have 16 village or 16 Hevusa, traditional. They are the traditional custodian of this Ngulingoli, the Ngulingoli of Namuka and Ndongotuki. So that was the first phase that we have undertook, that we take it to these 16 villages and informing them and advise them, this is what the chiefs want, to establish a tambu within our Ngulingoli waters. There is about six reefs that is being tambu, and the chiefs has had made their decision. They have decided to be the marine reserve, or these reefs are to be protected forever. I think you may know that there are certain kinds of protected areas, the rotational tambu or rotational. This tambu or this marine protected area is established forever. It shall be served as a reserve or a refugee or a spawning site or something like, or a reproduction site for our marine living things. Eh? I think that's the project that we are facing, and we are up to that phase, like taking down the information or taking down the idea to the people.
And if you're listening in right now and you might be wondering the location where this recording is taking place, I'm interviewing the district rep here in the village of Visongo. And Bisongo Village is under the district of Namuka and, well, under the province of Madhuata as well. And Lambasa Town sits within the province. That's on Fiji's second main island, which is Vanualebu, far north of Fiji. District representative, Bisongo is located next to is along the foreshore, along the coastline. The impacts of climate change, rising sea levels, is also taking its toll here in this setting. What is the level of understanding from the villages about the realities or what is happening right now?
I think the impact of climate change, the impact of the rising sea level, is evident. Everybody can see it. Everybody can know it. I want to thank our relevant agencies, yes? Especially Madhuata Provincial Council, those non-government organizations, WWF, USP, or sometime was we were working together here on some conservation work. These are the people that enlighten these people, enlighten the community that this is real, there's something real. Because if there were no consultation, if there were no awareness that were made by these people, no. These people, they didn't even know that the erosion or the coastal erosion is something. They thought that is only a natural thing or something like that. That is the mindset here in the community, in the village, of the people that are reserved in the village. Those impact, climate change impact, they think that it is natural, it is natural. But little did they know that there is something real. This the climate change, the impacts of the wave, the impacts of the climate change that is taking its toll on our city, on our village city, in the community. But the challenges here is those strategies, those techniques on how to tackle or how to manage ourselves during the natural disasters, it is set up in an evacuation center. But luckily, in our community setting, we already have our own how to come up with or to meet the challenges during the. So we have to look to those people that who have weaker houses. Their houses are not big enough, are not strong enough. We will come with about two families or three families that we will call up each other and we can dwell in one house during those disasters.
So there's no evacuation center?
There's no evacuation center. So I'm very happy that you can take up, that I can be heard in this platform, that with this 12 Yavusa in the Tikina of Namuka, there's only three evacuation centers. So those awareness, those strategies, these people, the CCF team or maybe some government agency are planning to come up with, I think it does not work in a community setting that they do not have an evacuation center.
So the district of Namuka consists of 12 villages, and these 12 villages, there's only three evacuation centers. Imagine the number of villages that will be accommodated in those three evacuation centers. No wonder the district rep highlighted that some of those who live or reside in weaker homes or houses will need to safely evacuate to their relatives who have a much more building style or building code that can withstand any tropical cyclone or strong winds. And that was Mr. Wangabesi Mbuli Mualebu, the district representative of Namuka in the province of Madhuata, one of the provinces in Fiji. Mr. Mbuli Mualebu, thank you so much for your time. Yunaka.
Nawalibu. Thank you very much.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepare.
I think it's fair to say that most people want to actually help their families in whatever way that looks like. So when you can't do that for some reason, I wonder how you would feel, especially during a disaster.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Even if I have someone from my family living with any form of disability, I will. That would be one of the things that I will do first, that I will prioritize before we actually move other things to a safe location or to high ground or an evacuation center. Yeah. I will prioritize the well-being and the safety of my family member who is living with disability. Safely evacuate.
What if they didn't want you to, Joe, though? What if that family member wanted you to say to help yourself first and then leave them to be? I mean, that's kind of, I guess, what happens as well.
Yeah, for me, if I encounter that, that's literally like that particular family member telling me, just go ahead. If this particular disaster will eventually take my life, then you know, it'll be a loss for myself and my family, and that shows that we are being ignorant, so to speak.
Yeah, it'd be a very tough situation to be in, I'm sure. Yeah. And I'm sure families do face that as well.
Pacific Prepared met a Tongan man who lives with a disability. He can no longer walk, and he told us that he would be prepared to be left behind during a disaster, as long as his family were or are safe.
We visited the small village in Papua, in Tonga, to find out more.
Okay. O kuingoa ko sione matare mau, ko nofi Papua.
He said his name is Mataele Mao, and he's from Papua, and he's one of the people with disability. But before that, she can do construction workers and working and staff, and especially help out with his family. But now he can't due to his disability.
What have been your experiences with natural disasters living here in Papua?
Yeah, me ago ago ausia raki nei ilongai he hokon ko e puna mungafi na watonga na u fika ko family ke na.
He said his experience from previous natural disasters is they are struggling with when it comes to evacuation. Because the recent tsunami warning and also the previous, especially the devastation in 2022, he felt like he's not fully commit or conducted his responsibility as a father to his family. And from the recent natural disaster, tsunami warning, he told his family to evacuate, leave him to die. She can help himself. So he wants his family to evacuate as soon as possible to save their lives. And also,
but he was happy to stay behind.
He was happy. He cared for his family's safety first because of his situation. And the other issue is that they are trying to seek assistance from the government, because when it comes to evacuate, they don't have any special attention or special care from the government or other organizations to help them in when they needed the help most, especially during the any emergency or natural disasters. But they have their own committee because here in Papua, because they have Torunoa Kau disability or Fidualu. They have 78 disability people with disabilities here in Papua only. So they form their own committee to work together what they can do, what to address the issue they are facing here at the at Papua, especially living in our vulnerable areas. And they are trying to plan what needed to be done in during a especially when a tsunami warning occurred. Kataki ne osi fai ha fei nga ki he pule anga os fai ha fakatala noa ki he pule anga ki ho omonga he fengata ian es tuk mai hatali. Sorry, I was asking him if they have previously seeking any assistance what the government has done in terms of their request, if they are yes.
Fifi abide fa mari ngulava mai me ko ni ko lava ato ai ke ke ato maure o eh a ko maure to ngale le mangai upor kala ma finga ke fa hu ki lo to ki pule anga
malo e matai le sorry he was emotionally expressed his how he felt about the government as he previously he already submitted a request to the parliament asking help for his situation. Is right now he can't do anything much. He said he has a gas station that's all lost. Due to his situation, they has a lot of income from agriculture sector and fisheries, and he is also a farmer, and he lost everything due to the COVID-19 vaccination. But especially when it comes to disaster, he felt like he's abandoning his families because he can't do much during a natural disaster due to his situation. All he can do just leave his family to go, just let him die, just let him stay here. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Malo Pito.
Malo Pito, ato koni mo vai vahe fie fie Pito eh. Mo ma o afia ma ape moto masivan ang famalot fatawa ng pege o ngwa ta maure oi maman e wi tola hipe mo fahinga i fonwan ka mo finga pe hilo na ya time la falao i ai ke ang ela ko mo ma o ka vivine me fanau ka la o ka ma tol ka o fanga tai ya e kotongani na lok fu fu framon ya i kotongani pe tei framon kia mea ko ia ko uinga e mau kisi ke i palpare mao ke ahoni kala ke mau maa whanga male te tau hango kumuma wha malau lahe putra mutol wa hawhia maisi o at masi vain.
Oh, he was explaining his appreciation for giving him this opportunity to express how he felt during a natural disaster, especially with his current situation, yes. Kataki e matai le oku ke whaafanongoa i he le dio tonga ai Porokalama Pacific Prepared ke Porokalama toka teu ki ngai whakatamaki.
Iyo, whanonga pe iai gau sisi o hange o ulau o i keke aku le dio.
Thank you. He was saying yes, sometimes he listened to Pacific Prepared program on his telephone because he didn't have any radio. Yes, so when he listened to the program, it's like an eye-opener program for him. It's like he was explained, it's like he was sleeping, then the Pacific Prepared whisper. you have to do this, you have to do that. Yes.
Dreaming about it.
Yes. And he said he was he's thankful for the opportunity you've given us to broadcast the Pacific Prepared Program. As a, he felt like he exists because we broadcast in the program, people with disability, plan for the government to prioritize these people. We especially when people from the Pacific Islands explain about their situation with people with disability, they have to prepare firsthand what needs to be done before a natural disaster or any tsunami warning. So,
Thank you.
Malo, and thanks to Pacific Prepared reporter and Tonga Broadcasting Commission journalist Liliani Polutele for that story from the Kingdom of Tonga.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared. And, yeah, Joe, thanks for your hop again this week, obviously, on the program. Much appreciated, as always.
Always. You're most welcome, Fred. And, yeah, this week, that reminds me, it's... we also commemorate World Humanitarian Day, just to also salute and acknowledge those who have been on the front line responding to disasters.
Yeah, right.
And more into that, we will have the head of the Fiji Red Cross Society next week, who will shed some light on, you know, the response work or the effort that they have done in previous disasters, particularly here in Fiji, and what are the lessons learned and plans as we head into another tropical cyclone season here in Fiji and right across the Pacific. Yeah,
yeah, those people are so important to what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, particularly after a disaster too. I mean, I'm sure right throughout the process, but particularly after a disaster, those people are so important to actually making that connection between what people need and then what, you know, organizations like the Red Cross actually have to offer people who need it as well. So
absolutely,
yeah, love those people.
Yeah,
well done.
Thank you, Binaka. So I'll talk to you again next week, Fred, and hopefully we'll have somebody in the episode in the show. Thanks to you, our listeners, for always tuning in every week. From Australia, right across the Pacific. Until next week, Vinaka Pakalebu, Nisamwade.
Vinaka, thanks, Joe.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today. And stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.